Hello and welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor here at Fraser Church. This week we have a special guest joining us for our devotions. Dr. Matthew Sleaf left his work as a physician to teach and write about faith and health. He's written several books including Reforcing Faith and Hope Always. Please enjoy today's devotional from Dr. Sleaf.
And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Today, we begin our exploration of trees in the Bible at the beginning, Genesis, when God created the world. Genesis means to beget, to give birth. Words such as generate, generation, and generous come from the same root as Genesis. Genesis is the story of God's generation of the gift of life. All available scientific evidence points to life being extraordinarily rare in the universe. Suns, planets, black matter, and empty space are common, but life is precious. In our solar system alone, the odds of being an atom in a living thing are incalculably small, something on the order of 1 in 3,500 trillion. As we push beyond our solar system deeper into space, the odds drop dramatically. Yet life is so abundant on Earth that we take it for granted. It's in the frozen tundra, in deep caves, above the tree line, under the ocean, beneath our fingernails, everywhere. God was extraordinarily generous when he created life on Earth. Genesis 1:11 marks both the third day of creation and a triumph of chlorophyll. From this point on in the Bible, whether it's a microscopic photoplankton or a giant sequoia, trees stand as the Bible's symbol of the plant kingdom. The writers of Scripture often use one noun to stand for a number of related nouns. For instance, the word cattle can refer to cows, but it can also stand for all the domestic beasts. Here is a simple way to see the abundance of trees in Scripture. If you have a Bible and a pen or a marker, you can do this exercise. Start highlighting in Genesis 1:11, then continue highlighting every sentence in the first three chapters that contain a reference to a tree, until you reach the sword-wielding cherubim guarding the tree in the last sentence of Genesis 3. Nearly one-third of the sentences in the first three chapters of the Bible contain a tree. One-third! Skim over your highlighting, and you'll see a forest begin to emerge. God chose a tree as his symbol of life. The largest and longest-lived form of life topside of the earth is a tree. Whether dead or alive, trees are always supporting life. It is not surprising, then, that the author of life puts a tree at the beginning, middle, and end of his messages to us, the Bible. Despite trees serving as God's favorite metaphor in Scripture, most people today have never heard a sermon on trees in the Bible. This was not always the case. There's a long history of writers understanding the connection between trees and God. If we reach back more than 1,000 years, we come to one of the oldest works of English literature, The Dream of the Rood. We hear the story of the crucifixion from the tree's point of view. At a glance at Charles Spurgeon's sermon titles indicate what people were hearing from the pulpit during the mid to late 1800s. His sermons included Christ, the Tree of Life, The Trees in God's Court, The Cedars of Lebanon, The Apple Tree in the Woods, The Beauty of the Olive Tree, The Sound in the Mulberry Trees, and The Leafless Tree. Spurgeon, the quote, prince of preachers, had no difficulty seeing both the trees and the forest in Scripture. More recently, George D. MacDonald, J.R.R. Tolkien, and C.S. Lewis, three of the most beloved and influential Christian writers of all time, championed trees. Whether it is MacDonald's picture of heaven at the back of the north wind, Tolkien's tree haven Lothlorien in Middle-earth, or the ways trees respond to Aslan when he is on the move in Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, each author paints a picture of shalom among the trees. The good guys live under, in, and around trees. They value, protect, and even talk to trees. In contrast, the bad guys, such as Lewis's Tash and Tolkien's Sauron, are clear cutters of trees, even talking trees. A number of factors point to why trees have gone missing from our faith, but lying at the heart of the explanation is the resurgence of a first century heresy called dualism. Dualism calls God's creation evil, assigning merit only to things of the Spirit. Of course, no part of the Bible supports this heresy, and the incarnation of God as a man named Jesus clearly is at odds with this false dichotomy. The logical conclusion of dualism is that God made himself corrupt simply by taking on the form of matter, human flesh. One does not have to be a systematic theologian to ask this. If the spiritual is superior to the material, why did God love the earth so much that he sent his only son to save it? The most dangerous consequence of this heresy is that it prevents us from hearing God speak to us through our everyday interactions with his creation. In fact, if I had to pick one subject other than Jesus to corroborate the inspired origin of the Bible, I'd pick trees. Why? Because while the Bible was written by many people over many centuries, the consistent use of trees points to one author. Trees are not randomly placed in Scripture. They mark the most important events, including the creation, the fall, the crucifixion, and resurrection. This is not a coincidence. The Bible is an interwoven book written by God. Here are some questions to consider. Recall a favorite tree from your childhood. Describe a special memory that took place in, around, or under the tree. Why do you think God chose to use trees as a central metaphor throughout the Bible? God wrote two books for us to learn about him, Scripture and creation. What can trees in both Scripture and nature teach us about the character of God? I hope you will find some time this week to sit under a tree and enjoy God's creation.